spending a few minutes with the Dean of Westminster Choir College of Rider University, Marshall Onofrio. And good to see you again. We chatted in this studio back here at WWFM a couple years ago for an evening of readings and carols. Of course, anyone who has followed anything with Westminster knows a heck of a lot has happened. But let's try to frame it in both the present and moving ahead. And the present is this current 18-19 season. We're now into 19, which has seen a lot of activity for a school that has had a lot of question marks about what's happening and is it going to be active and is it going to continue doing what it's been doing at such a high level for so many decades. So first of all, just talk about the highlights of what is actually happening at Westminster this year.
Thank you, David. It's good to be back here again. I appreciate your support as well as that of WWFM and all of the listeners out there who pay attention to what goes on at Westminster. You're absolutely correct. It has been a wonderful year thus far. The Westminster Choir, the concert that folks are listening to tonight, started the year with a bang, shall we say. They traveled to China in October for an 8-day trip. We did 6 concerts, 3 or 4 workshops. We snuck in just a tiny bit of sightseeing. We performed in the Forbidden City. We were the only United States choir invited to be in the annual Beijing Students Choral Festival. We've released a new recording this past September, the Frank Martin Mass for Double Choir. They're just coming off a tour to Texas and Oklahoma. And in fact, in late February, early March, they're going to be at the National ACDA Convention in Kansas City. So a busy year for them and yet more to come. The Symphonic Choir, as always, very busy, did a double run, if you will, of Messiah. We did a total of 9 performances, 4 with Philadelphia and 5 with New York Philharmonic. We're going to do actually another repeat run with both of those orchestras of the Mozart Requiem here in the spring. So a few performances with the New York Phil and a few with the Philadelphia Orchestra. And a really big highlight that we just signed on to do. In April, we're going to be doing the Beethoven Symphony No. 9 with the New York Philharmonic, conducted by their new music director, Jaap van Zweden, as part of their Fill the Hall program. It's a series of concerts that they offer to the first responders, the volunteers, and other service professionals of the greater New York City region. So we are very pleased and proud to be part of that performance as well. We have a new recording out by Westminster Williamson Voices to be released very soon this spring that will be entirely devoted to the music of the Norwegian composer Ola Yalo, and they've just completed work on their next recording. They're going to be in Washington, D.C. at the National Cathedral in April performing Annalise, a choral setting of the Diary of Anne Frank. And of course, in addition, all of the other choirs, the Handbell Choir, which just came back from a tour to Florida and the East Coast, if you will, plays musicals at both the Princeton and Lawrenceville campuses. So what a busy time for us.
Yeah, and I think to underscore just keeping Westminster out in front of everyone are some of these recordings which let people hear the state of the choirs and the artistry they're making. You mentioned the Symphonic Choir with the Martin Double Mass, the work that the Williamson Voices are doing. Cantorai had their first recording within the last year, which is another group which had not been on recording, and there's rumblings of a recording maybe with the Jubilee Singers, maybe that's to come as well. So a lot of things happening to keep Westminster out in front of a kind of national, international scene, the tours and the recordings. Westminster in its own community here in Princeton. Again, we'll talk a little about what's happening with Westminster, but this is a time that even those in the Princeton area are like, how are things shaking out as far as Westminster's role in our immediate area?
Excellent. You're exactly right. For all of the time that we've been in Princeton since the early 30s, we have been indelibly and intrinsically connected to the community. Anyone who comes to our performances in the flesh will see a wide variety of folks there, from young people that come from across the street at Princeton High School to parents to a lot of community members. We have a great relationship with the Princeton Friends of Opera, who help support our cooperative program and our opera theater programs. We do world-class performances on both campuses and see a lot of members of the greater Princeton community at those performances. The College of the Arts, I think, is becoming widely known for a wide variety of these kinds of performances, and the community is looking to us to continue that, which we indeed will. The community embraces us directly in music instruction through our conservatory programs, individual instruction from literally womb to tomb, as they sometimes will say, but also with ensembles, the College Community Orchestra, and so on. We have a number of those opportunities for the community to both participate and enjoy as audience members. We provide music instruction for sixth grade music in the Princeton schools. We provide a lot of ensembles to help out when we get calls from folks looking for musical support for particular types of events that are going on. Our alumni are incredibly active in the immediate area, teaching in schools, serving as music directors in synagogues, area churches, and so on, working in both public and private schools in the area, and so on. In the last, it must be now about 5 years, we've been offering the Neighborhood Children's Choir rehearses at the Paul Robeson Center, and it offers an opportunity for a lot of young children, particularly those of the socioeconomically challenged demographic, to be able to work with one of our faculty members, Tom Shelton, doing music especially written for children. I guess I would say that in our time, especially, the idea of community is so very different. So through the internet, through streaming, mm-hmm. through a broadcast such as this evening, the listening audience is able to hear music literally worldwide. So they hear the music of Westminster from a variety of sources at a variety of times. And it's brought us outside of the environment where people drive to see us. So while we are eternally grateful and continue to be grateful for all of the folks who actually journey to our campuses to see our group, perform, we are even more gratified that literally people worldwide are tuning in to both streamed and podcast types of performances to enjoy what we do. We offer online instruction. We now have 3 degrees that can be accomplished either entirely or in the majority online. And we're attracting people from all over the world to those kinds of programs.
Yeah, I think one thing that's very unique about Westminster, and put aside schools like a business school, like a Wharton School of Business, every graduate from there goes into business, but that's a multifarious topic. But for a school that graduates and their graduates go into a field where they continue doing what they have been trained to do, Westminster has to be very, very high because so many Westminster alums are still not only active in music, they are creating ensembles, they're conducting ensembles, they are singing in ensembles. So that's very gratifying that they get this incredible education at Westminster, usually in the choral art, and they're out there still doing it and making the choral art happen wherever they're placed around the country or the globe. So.
Absolutely. And in fact, I like that you said they found groups because a lot of them literally create musical opportunities for themselves.
We broadcast some of them.
Yeah, exactly right. And those opportunities then extend to the communities in which these students are living. So they bring choirs. We have some orchestral conductors out there. Ming Luke is enjoying some great success out on the West Coast as an orchestral conductor and so on. So we've got a whole lot of people out there doing things. We have several young composers whose music has been featured in the ensemble performances of the choir college, but they're now going on to accept commissions and write substantial works and so on. So you're absolutely correct. This is it's very gratifying as a teacher. Why do we do what we do? We do it because kids go out and carry the message forward. And it is really gratifying to see our alumni go out there, carry the message forward of the value of music, of the value of the arts, and what it means to the human spirit and communities.
So this concert tonight, of course, celebrates the homecoming after a tour. And like you said, this was a very successful tour this year for the Symphonic Choir to go to Texas. Of course, the goal of any tour every year for Westminster, whatever ensemble's going out, is to let people hear the artistry of the Westminster students, but also, in a sense, recruitment, so to show what people can attain if they attend Westminster. Because of what Westminster is going through, and I think a lot of people listening, especially alumni listening, are saying, well, what is that goal now? I mean, has the goal changed? Is the message you're taking out there? Are there questions now that we're on this tour that weren't on other tours? I mean, give us the sense of the goal for this tour and how it may have changed and what's happening.
Very important question you've just asked, David, and thank you for the opportunity to address some of those issues. So as you say, all tours kind of encompass a set of goals that are relatively common between the choirs. So we do this for the cultural and artistic advancement and enrichment, if you will, of our own students. We do it for the enrichment of the communities in which we perform on tour. Sometimes those are schools, sometimes those are churches, sometimes those are public venues. So that kind of symbiosis between students learning to do this and community getting to enjoy it is very, very important for us. This year, in fact, because of the challenges and the questions that are out there about Westminster's future, we kind of rethought what we were doing with this tour. So we've done very much what we've done in the past, but we put a new emphasis, let's call it that, a new emphasis on recruiting. So on this particular tour, the choir and Joe Miller led workshops at 8 different schools, and these were all schools that had their own renown as choral music programs. So a more direct connection, if you will, mm-hmm. between our esteemed conductor, Joe Miller, our students, who are some of the brightest and best here at Westminster, and these area schools as well. So a direct connection between students, which is important. And in fact, I'm pleased to tell you that we received approximately a dozen applications from students from the schools that we visited while the choirs were still on tour. So that's very important. And it speaks a lot to the direct connection when you physically are with the person with whom you might work next year, Joe Miller, or students who might become your friends and colleagues next year. So that part of it is very important. And I should add that most of the time we are hosted in these tours in part through our alumni network. Sometimes they actually are our host. Sometimes they put us in contact with someone who becomes our host. But in this particular tour, just about every event had some direct connection to one of our alumni. I'm pleased to tell you how successful those people are in their home churches and their home schools. And I think that they were pleased to see us, to hear what we're doing, to hear some of our plans for next year, so on and so forth. So that piece of it goes beyond just visibility. It goes beyond our usual, let's call it brand enhancement, if you will. It goes to literally that human connection. We were able to share with people, and hopefully this will put some question to rest, Westminster Choir College will be open and operating in Princeton no matter what in September of 2019.
That was my next question.
We are looking to enroll a freshman class and to enroll a new graduate class. We've had, let me think now, two audition days for undergraduates with, I think, three more to go. And our graduate auditions will start in about a week. We have a series of those. We have a number of what we're calling the Westminster Experience Days. And a new wrinkle this year with those, we're doing them specific to majors. So there's a Westminster Experience Music Ed Day and a Westminster Experience Choral Conducting Day and so on. So that's a way for us to share a little bit more directly what you would do at Westminster next year if you came here as a sacred music major or a music ed major or a voice performance major. So that piece of it, we're beginning to say that on tour. We're sharing this with our alumni that we're here, we're open. We are just about to sign the contracts for several important concerts next year with major orchestras. Unfortunately, I can't give you names and dates just yet until we get those things signed, but I can tell you that people will be very pleased with our schedule with orchestras is going to be like next year. And again, I think that's a testimony to those conductors and their faith in us. So we are here, we are open. Send us, what is it on the Statue of Liberty? Send us your tenors, your basses, and the occasional soprano, because we are here.
And altos show up too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know some things that have been going on. Obviously, you can't give details of many things, but you brought us up to September next year. But I think if we're looking ahead for the future of Westminster, can you just also mention Westminster 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. So these young musicians who signed up and registered in Texas know that their education will be complete at Westminster.
Amen. As everyone out there in the listening audience, I'm sure, knows by now, we are working on a transaction with the Kaiwen Education Group where they would become our new partner. They have very significant resources. They understand the value of Westminster in the musical and artistic world. They have expressed on numerous occasions their commitment to enhancing that reputation and, in fact, applying some of their resources to a greater global presence for Westminster. So we are working on all of the details of that. Again, as the listening audience well knows, a transaction of this nature is quite complex. I often share with my staff and our faculty and others that we passed complicated 4 or 5 mile posts back. This truly is a complex transaction. Higher education is a subset of the business world, if you will. So we are working very hard with them for all of the required approvals, all of the steps that would be necessary for them to become our new partner. With their assistance, with their interest, with the fact that they supported in large majority the trip of the Westminster Choir to China back in October, we look to again increase the international knowledge of Westminster, the ability of Westminster to deliver its product, which is not only singing, it is piano, it is organ, it is composition, it is a whole educational mission, but to be able to deliver that as widely as possible. We continue to work on that as we move forward. I'm very optimistic that we can bring this to a closure, and if we are able to do so, I think it gives us a chance for Westminster. I'm not sure what version we're up to. Let's call it Westminster version 3, and to move us forward into a new global network with increased resources to do things that we've wanted to do but simply just haven't been able to.
Well, I know all of us here at the Classical Network, and I'm thinking everyone listening to this concert broadcast tonight, wishes the best for Westminster, wishes a strong Westminster, a vibrant, artistic, creative Westminster to continue. And that's work on your end. And a thank you for all that. And thanks for taking some moments.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment very much, David, both from you personally and on behalf of WWFM. We are really an interesting place in the history of Westminster. I would remind our alumni and our listening audience that Westminster early in its career moved twice. It was at three places very early. I mean, within the first decade of its life. And so this is a newer transition, if you will, but it has tremendous opportunity. And I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the support of the alumni and listening audience. Keep tuned. We're here. We're doing our thing. We're doing it really very well. We have an incredibly talented faculty and students putting a musical product out there that compares literally worldwide. So thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts this evening.
Dean of Westminster Choir College, Marshall Onofrio. If you are one of those many Westminster Choir College alumni listening, or simply a Westminster Choir College fan, a reminder that it is your support of this station that allows you to hear this concert by Westminster, and that only continues with your support, financial support of this station. You can make that donation and support in membership at our website, wwfm.org. Westminster Choir broadcasts are some of the most popular broadcasts across our year. By example, the annual An Evening of Readings and Carols at Christmas. If you're able to listen to these broadcasts because of the Classical Network, ensure they continue with your donation now. Remember, you can view or print the program of tonight's concert by going to our homepage at wwfm.org. The second half of this 2019 homecoming concert titled Half Acre in Four Sections presents sections 2 through 4. Section 2, titled L'Amour, features music by the French 20th century composer Francis Poulenc. After hearing performances of Monteverdi madrigals, Francis Poulenc became inspired to purchase the complete published collection of Monteverdi's works. After careful study, he set out to write a set of French chansons. The seven pieces are set to poetry by surrealists Paul Éluard and Guillaume Apollinaire. True to the nature of the poetry, Poulenc juxtaposes different styles and textures within each of the chansons. The five of the seven we'll hear tonight in English translation of the titles are The White Snow, Hardly Disfigured, All the Rites, Beautiful and Resembling, and Marie. Part three of the concert is titled Love of Country. This set features three distinctly American selections. The first and third are arrangements of songs by Dan Massey of the bluegrass band Hem. The first lends its title to the entire program, the text of which I read at the beginning of the broadcast, Half Acre, and the other title is Leave Me Here. The choir is accompanied in these selections by Christina Hahn piano, and once again by Maxwell Bray mandolin, Matthew Marinelli guitar, Timothy Moreau cello. The soprano soloist in Half Acre is Catherine Arnold. Between the two Messe tunes is a setting of a traditional American song by American composer and arranger John Wyckoff, Look Up, Look Down, a sorrowful song telling the loss of one's beloved. To close the concert, the fourth and final section is titled Music We Love, and begins with James Erb's beloved setting of the well-known traditional American song Shenandoah, followed by Moses Hogan's equally beloved setting of the spiritual Elijah Rock. Westminster Choir making their way back out onto the stage of Richardson Auditorium here at Princeton University for the second half of this 2019 homecoming concert. And once again, back out on stage is Dr. Joe Miller to lead the Westminster Choir.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming back for the second half. We appreciate it. We do appreciate your being here tonight on our homecoming concert. We had an incredible trip to Texas and Oklahoma, and we're just excited to be here with you tonight. So thank you all for being here to share this with us. We're going to change gears now quite a bit, and we're going to sing a few Poulenc chansons. So I want you to think, I want you to put yourself in 1936 in Paris, and I want you to pretend that Salvador Dali was walking down the street, and he made a coloring book for you, and he's going to give you 5 pages of his coloring book. And you are Francis Poulenc, and so you have the greatest paint palette of all time, and you're going to take your paint and you're going to paint Dolly's pictures. And that's what we're going to do for you now. We're going to try to paint this incredible surrealistic poetry for you in the chanson. The text is in your program if you'd like to follow along, or you can just imagine the colors that are coming at you for the Poulain. After that, we will sing three truly American folk songs, or American songs. How many bluegrass lovers do I have out here? Yes, me too. I love bluegrass. And there's this wonderful group called Hem, and so we're going to sing you two pieces from them. Half Acre, which is the title of tonight's program, and Leave Me Here. And in between that, we're going to give you an American railroad song. And this song is a typical, tragic, early 20th century piece. Young lovers just together, and she unfortunately steps in front of a train and is killed. And this song is about him being left and mourning. And you'll hear it's an incredibly wonderful piece, about three pieces of Americana.
Is on.
Thank you very much for all of you choral conductors out there. Those pieces will be in the Westminster Choral Series available this spring, if you'd like to purchase them. We began our year with a trip to China and to Beijing. And it's very, very wonderful that we have two Chinese students that are in the choir. So we got to go all the way to China to sing for their families. And I told them that. I said, we came all this way just for you, just so that you could see your child in the choir. But we have enjoyed touring, and we love to do that. And we love going around to visit friends and family and alumni. And I wonder, can we have some lights? I don't know if somebody's on lights, but if you are Westminster Choir College alumni, would you stand so that we can see you? Come on, alumni, stand up. Thank you all so much for being here. I also wonder if we just happen to have any former music teachers or family or close friends of people in the choir. Family, music teachers, friends, stand up if you're one of those people. Yeah. Thank you all so much. We are very high tech. We're on this wonderful thing called the Facebook. And we'd love it if you would go on and like us on Facebook. You can also find our music. You can download it on iTunes or stream it on Spotify or see us on Instagram. If you'd like to be a groupie of the choir, go to page 16 of your program and you can find all the groupie opportunities. If you'd like to follow us around, we have a blog and you can follow our bloggers all the way. After tonight, we'll begin working on new projects. We have a trip to Kansas City to the American Choral Directors Association National Convention, and then we'll end our year at the Spoleto Festival in Charleston, South Carolina. So if you want to hear the choir again, that's a good time to do it. We're going to leave you this evening with two of our Westminster Choir favorites.
Shine on.
coming to you live from Richardson Auditorium in Alexander Hall on the campus of Princeton University Westminster Choir, led by Dr. Joe Miller, Director of Choral Activities at Westminster. Moses Hogan's arrangement of the spiritual Elijah Rock brings this 2019 homecoming concert presented by Westminster Choir, a concert titled Half Acre, named after the Dan Messier song we heard earlier, to a conclusion. Will have an encore.
We might know one more piece with this. This is for all of you true choral geeks in the audience. Thank you.
encore music of Eric Whitaker, his Water Night. The text is from Octavio Paz's poem Aqua Nocturna, one of the famous choral composer's earliest works, written in 1995. Now tradition will take over as each of these homecoming concerts ends the same way, in a performance of Peter Lutkin's Benediction, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. I hope all you Westminster alumni listening were singing along. The Westminster Choir, led by Dr. Joe Miller, in the traditional ending for these homecoming concerts, sang Peter Lutkin's Benediction. Dr. Miller will be stopping by here in a moment for a few post-concert, rather breathless words. With this homecoming concert by the Westminster Choir, there are a number of people we wish to thank for making this broadcast possible. Dean Marshall Onofrio, who stopped by to speak with us at intermission, Dr. Joe Miller, Ann Sears, Office of External Affairs, new to Westminster, Alexander Cantor, Office of Performance Management, also Rachel Feldman for her program notes. We also wish to thank the staff here at Richardson Auditorium, always a pleasure to work with, and our recording engineers James Allington and Ashley Lehman of John C. Baker Recordings, LLC. Special thanks also to my colleague back at the studios of the Classical Network, Ross Amico. This said, Dr. Miller will be here shortly. The Westminster Choir's performances of the Mozart Requiem with the New York Philharmonic, conducted by the music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony, Manfred Honeck, are on March 13th, 15th, and 16th at Lincoln Center. And then with the Philadelphia Orchestra, led by longtime director of Les Violons du Roi, Bernard Labadie, will be at the Kimmel Center in Center City, Philadelphia, April 11th, through the 13th. They'll also perform the Bach Mass in B minor with the Philadelphia Orchestra, led by their music director, Yannick Nézet-Séguin, in December of this year. In celebration of Black History Month, there are some concerts I want to tell you about what's happening at Westminster, and they're all open to the public. Saturday, February 2nd at Bristol Chapel on the campus of Westminster at 7:30. Ebony and Ivory, Westminster Conservatory faculty member, a good friend of the Classical Network, pianist Clipper Erickson, performs music by Samuel Coleridge Taylor, Margaret Bonds, Laurie Altman, and Nathaniel Dett. The next day, Sunday, February 3rd at 3 p.m. in Hillman Hall, African Elements in American Music for Winds, Westminster Conservatory faculty recital featuring members of the Wind Department performing music of Ulysses K., William Grant Still, Duke Ellington, and others. Then Friday, February 22nd at 7:30, also in Bristol Chapel, the Westminster community celebrates the music of African heritage composer Nathaniel Dett, again with Clipper Erickson, also featuring soprano Rochelle Ellis, and the Westminster Jubilee Singers, directed by Vinroy Brown, that concert again, all music by Nathaniel Dett. Joining us is Dr. Joe Miller. Wonderful concert, maestro.
Thank you very much.
As with all these concerts that you do, the tour concerts which end up here at Princeton, the programming you put together is always magnificent and always inspired. This one, what a wide range, 17th century to 20th century to folk-based, bluegrass-based. Your half acre, your little plot of land, which is analogous to love. There's a wide range of emotions of love in this program, a wide range from Ted Hearn all the way to these choral, sort of choral comfy blanket of Shenandoah, which, by the way, is a love tune. We should all say it's not about the river or the park. It's about
That's
a fur
right.
trapper
That's right.
Who's in love with an Indian woman who's the daughter of the Oneida chief Shenandoah, and he's asking for her hand. So the question is, because that wide range of emotion that your young musicians had to embrace, to talk about their embracing of that wide range in this concert presented, and then as you went out and took it on tour, what was the audience reaction to that very wide range?
Of course, the wide range that we have is something that I try to do all the time. And the reason that I do it is because there's an audience that will go hear Bach, and there's an audience that will go and hear bluegrass. But the audiences that we want to embrace in the United States or around the world are audiences that will embrace music of all types. We don't want one type of audience. We want the human voice and the choral voice to be something that is for everyone, for the people. Yeah. And even for educating these students, you know, if I do one slice, it's not helping them to learn the repertoire. So I'm trying to bring as many people to the repertoire, including my own singers and our audiences. And so that is one of the goals of such an eclectic program. It's the hardest program to do. It's a lot easier to sing a Bach Magnificat and get in your lane and off you go. For here, having to change. But it's one of the most brilliant things about the students and singers of this age, because they have this great vocal flexibility, and I love to show it off.
I guess with the young musicians, the choristers, I mean, that intensity of the Ted Hearn text set against the very romantic, some of these illusions of love, and that's a wide range for them to pull off at such a young age, no matter what their maturity level is.
Yeah. You know, a big part of this program of rehearsal really was spent in discussion.
Yeah.
It's getting the mindset and understanding the text as much as they can at that age, as much as I can at my age. But that took a long time because I felt it was so important that the music was coming from a deep understanding of the text.
Yeah.
It was also really difficult with the Poulenc because of the Polonaire and the other poetry is very difficult poetry.
Yeah. And I love the seamless nature you're doing these concerts with, where there's just a flow of music which gets the idea across to the audience. So everything about Westminster right now is looking forward. When you're sitting here next year doing this concert, it's going to be the 100th anniversary concert because Westminster turns 100 next year.
That's right. The choir will be 100 years old.
Anything rattling around in your head at this point?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And can you divulge anything of rattling around in your head?
Oh, no. It's a top guarded secret. but there's no way that we can celebrate without honoring the past. But ultimately, we have to look toward the future.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but yes, that's all beginning to rattle around in my brain and how we're going to weave a program together that honors
all of those things.
Any
brain droppings out of him tonight.
Congratulations. I will tell you that I have people from all over the country that have sent me things. I heard the Westminster Choir on tour and they sang this piece. I had a man that sent me a piece written for the Westminster Choir in 1932.
Wow.
Sent it to me. I love it. it will be on the program next
okay,
year.
Okay, one thing. Thank you, Maestro. Great concert. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dr. Joe Miller. Westminster also, well, we talked about their concerts coming up. They have many recordings available, some award-winning discs. Check them all out. And anything else you wish to know about Westminster Choir, College of Rider University at rider.edu/Westminster. If you enjoy hearing these young musicians, the next great generation of classical musicians, then support what you hear by going to our website and making your donation at wwfm.org. Also stay tuned for at 10 p.m., Carl Hemmingson is along with Curtis Calls, featuring student recitals from the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia from last academic year. I'm David Ozenberg. Celebrating Our Musical Future is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.